Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, like I said before, I just got back from camp. I don't know why I put so much emphasis on the P, but camp, oh my goodness, like I said, 750 to 800 like kids, people there. Record-setting week. It was unbelievable, and I'll tell you what, when you get that many people together, let alone students, I mean, the Bible talks about faith of a child. I'm telling you, these students, and you get 750 of them in one place pursuing Jesus, great things happen. Amen. We can talk. We're in church. I mean, it was an impactful week. I'm telling you, the things I saw, the wonderful things I heard, I'm telling you, every single person in here, if you've never been to camp as a student or as a leader, hey, next year, let's bring, like, I don't know, 100-some kids. That way we need all of you as leaders, because then you get to experience it too, because I'm telling you, I experienced God at camp. I mean, that's where I received in 7th, 8th grade the calling to ministry. Then I went through high school kind of figuring out things for myself, and then the Lord put me right where he wanted me. Praise the Lord for that. But there's kids there at camp, I'm telling you, God's doing big things there. But this morning, I'm going to go through each day of camp. I'm not going to tell you for the sake of the students and the parents. I'm not going to tell you about camp girlfriends and boyfriends. We're going to leave what happens at camp stays at camp, okay? But I am going to tell you about the services, the things that God did, because he did so many things. And it was absolutely awesome. And I believe 100% that it's not just a camp thing. It's not just a youth thing. It's not just a Spencer Lake thing. It's a God thing. And if God's here today, he could do the same things at camp here. So these stories I tell you, these testimonies, these things, it happened there, but it happened for a reason, because you got 750 people pursuing Jesus. Now, we may not have 750 people in here, but if we all pursue Jesus, man, let's see what happens. So this morning, let's pursue him. The first day of camp. Get there on a Monday, wake up early, drive there. My goodness, my goodness. Yeah, camp, you get tired fast. You're on your feet all day. There is no nap time, okay? You know, bedtime at about midnight, wake up at about 6:30, and you're on your feet all day playing sports, playing games, screaming and yelling, having a blast, all until 12 o'clock the next night. So then you can go to bed. It's an absolute blast. That's why my voice is a little like this. I lost it at camp, but found Jesus. But the first night was all about it is finished. He talked about Jesus on the cross, it is finished. It was kind of like a salvation call, but it was more than that. It was for people to go all in. It was for all the students. Who wants to go all in for Jesus? It was this call to way more, because in our sin, God made a way out was one of the points. Micah Mack was the speaker. And if you ever get a chance to hear him preach, I'm telling you, go hear him preach. This man is so on fire. He is an ordinary guy that pursues Jesus. And it's absolutely the Holy Spirit speaking through him, and it changes lives. He's doing all sorts of camps and conventions and different things. Used to be a youth pastor up in the cities, and decided to travel and speak, follow God's call. And so that's what they've been doing, him and his family. One of his first points was God made a way out. One of the next points was God wants all of you, and God sent his son to finish his plan for you. And as he was preaching this message, and then he did an altar call, and it was, if you want to be all in for Jesus, you want to pursue God, you want to be all in for Jesus, come up to the altar. You want to experience salvation for the first time or rededicate your life, and I'm telling you, 750 kids, the chairs are just clearing as they fill the altar, fill the aisles. They're pressed up against the stage. There's no room to move. You probably couldn't even lift your arms up if you were them. You got to shuffle around kids just wanting Jesus, pursuing Jesus, wanting to be all in. I'm telling you, if you could just be there and see it, it's just one of the most beautiful things. It really is. It speaks volumes to me every year when I go and you see these types of things happen. the next day brings us to Tuesday. And Tuesday, they talked a little bit about Youth Alive in the morning session. And Youth Alive, the Youth Alive director is Dan Harrod. And he's a great man of God. And he has a wonderful family, and they do so much. But what they do is they bring speakers into different high schools, middle schools, for motivational speaking, because they can't talk about God or about the Bible. So they motivationally speak and tell them, just kids that just feel useless, feel purposeless. And they speak life into them, life that they just haven't heard before. And it changes lives, and oftentimes they'll do a night rally where they can talk about Jesus. They can talk about Jesus. They can talk about God. They could do any of that. And then they are able to, don't worry about it, it's a service dog. I'm good. You should be too. All right, so they just talk about Jesus, and they're able to see kids come to Christ that have never heard about him before. That's what Youth Alive is about, and their slogan is every student matters. And Dan Harrod said something so impactful to me that I think was impactful to students as well, and it was, you know what, we're called to be the light to this world. There is no plan B. It's us. It's us to reach this world. There isn't a plan B. There isn't. It's us to go and be a witness, and this motivation to these students to be a witness to their friend and try and get speakers into their schools. It's incredible. But then that night, Micah spoke a message about death to life, and he spoke about Lazarus. Spoiler alert, Lazarus was dead and came back to life. Okay. It was so great because he really touched on this one thing that was just really cool. That was in that culture back then, they believed that when somebody died, within 3 days, they could be raised back to life. Within 3 days. That's what they had. And after the 3 days, then it was no. So when does Jesus show up? On the fourth day. To turn the impossible to possible. And he preached this message about death to life, and he went through a bunch of different things. And what he had the students do was write grave clothes. Because Lazarus was covered in grave clothes, and what Jesus did was told the people around to take off his grave clothes. So what he had the students do was write down on a sheet of paper their grave clothes. And he had slides up that were examples, but students were able to write whatever they wanted. But it was bitterness, unforgiveness, shame, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, loneliness. See, depression and suicide is one of the biggest killers of this generation. Because they see every day what other people's lives look like, and they look so perfect. And their life just isn't that way, and it causes this insecurity. The teenage girls see images of beauty, quotes around that, edited Photoshop beauty. That these teenage girls these days, they see more images of that kind of beauty than their grandma or great-grandma did in their lifetime. They see that in one day. That brings them to a place of not feeling wanted, feeling insecure, eating disorders. Struggles, depression. It's one of the biggest things they struggle with in this generation. And instead of just yelling at them, get off your phone, maybe invest. Love them, pray for them, be with them, do something. Find something else. But see, he went on the list, and sexual identity, addiction, drugs, alcohol, your image, anger, fatherless, motherless, orphan, abandoned. And these kids would write this down on this sheet of paper. And then what he did next was so powerful. You were supposed to give your sheet to your friend. And just like Jesus told the people around to take the grave clothes off of Lazarus, students started to take the grave clothes off of their friends. And I, with the way the numbers worked out, I was paired up with a student, and I remember they handed me their list, and I handed them mine, because as a youth leader, lead by example, I did it with them. And I held his list, and I remember just looking at him, and he wrote down that nobody loved him, and that nobody cared, and that it mattered how he dressed and looked for people for him to have any worth. And what we were supposed to do to take their grave clothes off was to say the opposite of what was on their sheet, to prophesy over their life, that I was able to look into this kid's eyes and tell him that he is loved by a Father in heaven who gave up his one and only Son, that you do not have to perish, but you can live eternally with him, that he cares so much about you, that he has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, that it doesn't matter what you look like, you are loved and cared about. And as I was reading these things to him, you could just see the weight off his shoulders falling. And as I finished his list, before he ever got to mine, which we never did, which was totally fine, he just charged me and tackled me with a hug because he finally felt love, not from me, even though I told him I loved him. He felt it from the Lord, and he hugged me and he bawled his eyes out for like 5 minutes. That t-shirt was just, anyway, that's gross. But that was what that night was about, death to life. After the first night where they meet their Savior, it is finished. Your past is wiped away. You are all in for Jesus now, but guess what? That means you're leaving this stuff behind. You're leaving this stuff behind. And so what we were to do was take their grave clothes and tear them up in front of them to little pieces. And on the count of three, we threw them all up into the air. 750 kids throwing their grave clothes into the air. You should have seen the room. I was in the back, so, oh, it was cool. In those moments, you're not thinking, oh, I should film this. You're just thinking like, oh, my goodness, God's moving. So I don't have like a cool video to show you or anything, but it all went up in the air and it fell to the ground, and then we worshiped for three straight songs while these students danced on the lies they once believed. It was beautiful. It was incredible. It was life-changing. And one of the greatest things I think that Micah said that night, it was one of those things where when somebody just opens their mouth, you're like, they didn't say that, the Holy Spirit did. You know, I don't care if he's traveled around and spoke this message 10 million times. When he spoke that out that night, I knew that this was straight from the Holy Spirit. Straight from the Holy Spirit. It was, God is not into behavior modification. He is into heart transformation. Because I remember as a youth, and even a little bit into my adulthood, I would pray, God, help me break this habit. Help me break this habit. Help me stop doing this. Help me to quit. Help me to live better. Help me to... All along, should have gone to the root. God, change my heart. Don't pray over the behavior. Pray over the heart. He's not into behavior modification. He's into heart transformation. And when he transforms your heart, your behaviors will change. That's what it is. And these students hear these things at camp. They hear these things at camp. 750 of them. Couldn't fit one more person in the room. If after hearing all these stories today, you don't feel like maybe you should write a check to Spencer Lake so they can build a new chapel to fit more kids, I don't know what will. We got to get more kids in there, or just more weeks of camp. Because I'm telling you, every kid that goes, there was a church that brought 110 kids. One church brought 110 kids. Their lives are changing, transforming at camp with these messages, these things, these experiences. Yeah, they play games and have fun all day, but when it comes time for service, their life, it's transformed. It's transformed. Well, the next day was Wednesday, and Wednesday morning they have a See You at the Pole service, which See You at the Pole is in September. I think it's the last Wednesday of September every year, where students in the morning before school are supposed to gather around their flagpole and pray together. That's what they do, and it's nationwide. It could be even international. I don't know. But that's what See You at the Pole is. And so at camp, they do one big See You at the Pole service in the morning to inspire students to go. And so Dan Harrod, the Youth Alive director, he's kind of in charge of See You at the Pole a little bit. And he came up to me and he's like, do you have any students that would be willing to like read a scripture and talk about it? And I said, you know what? I think so. So I went over to Jeremiah. If you know Jeremiah, you know I picked the right guy. If you don't, you should get to know him. He's not here today. But I went up to Jeremiah and I said, hey, so would you be willing to like, you know, find a scripture about prayer and then talk about it to a few students? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, totally. And Dan Harrod was standing next to me. I was like, there you go. He said he'd do it. And then Dan Harrod's like, all right, so tomorrow morning the camp gets together for See You at the Pole. And he's like, wait, what? So there may have been a little bit of, you know, sleight of words, sleight of hand to get him to do it. But anyway, that morning he got up and he read a scripture verse about prayer, and he broke it down, and he shared multiple verses about prayer, and he broke it down and he spoke, and it was incredible to see one of your own students, not like, you know, oh, I did it, but that God's worked in him to bring him to that point where this kid going into seventh grade, like, he can stand up in front of a camp full of students, break down a scripture verse and tell them about prayer to inspire them to go home and pray for friends and all that stuff. And at the end of his, at the very end of his little message, he said, and to quote the best youth pastor ever, Brock Williamson. And he quoted me, and for the rest of camp, I reminded him, hey, who's the best youth pastor ever? any time that he was like, Brock, I don't want to do this, and I said, hey, who's the best youth pastor ever? I said, as soon as you said that, it went straight to my head. It just went, you should have never, ever done it, man. No, I'm kidding. But he did a great job. He did a great job, and it was incredible to watch and witness that. And that day, Levi Koistra, he is a Chi Alpha pastor at UW-Madison. What Chi Alpha is they create churches on college campuses, secular college campuses, so that Christian students have a place to go and they're able to minister to non-Christians. And if you know UW-Madison, they need it. They need Jesus. And this, in every school, they need it. But he took on the challenge to go into UW-Madison and create a Chi Alpha and do this, and he's been doing it. And one of the things that he said that, you know, these students here, that the kingdom of God is built on ordinary people who diligently follow after God. Ain't that the truth? He shared that with students as he talked about what Chi Alpha was, and they talked to seniors and juniors, because guess what? Not all of them are going to a Christian university. So they're able to plug in at Chi Alpha. They're able to do that and have church services in a secular community and be able to find a home and have God work in their life even though they're in this world. And they don't have to live in this world or be of it, I should say. But that night was an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, Wednesday night. And it was so cool because we focused on baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, as is what we believe in the Assemblies of God. And it was so cool to see this service happen. But then he also took time to go over the spiritual gifts. The gifts. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where it talks about that. The spiritual gifts. But real quick, I got to jump back to Tuesday night to talk about Jeremiah again, because it has to do with Wednesday night. Tuesday night, they had pre-service prayer in the chapel. That's what they have. But what I had for my guys, I said, come back to the room, and we'll share scripture and pray together as us, not in the chapel, but us together, because it's a little less noisy and things like that. So we were doing that, but Jeremiah decided to go into the chapel, and they started to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit on Tuesday. And there was somebody who had never been water baptized before, so they took a water bottle and they baptized somebody. And they started praying for Holy Spirit baptism. And Jeremiah, one of my good friends, I was so thankful it was him, one of my good friends that I've known since I was going to camp. He was our 3-on-3 basketball rival. He's a great man of God, and he's just a good dude. But he was one of the people praying for Jeremiah, and so was this other guy. And they were praying for Jeremiah, and Jake came up to me just before service, and he's like, man, we were praying for Jeremiah. He's such a great kid. But, man, we were praying for him, and I felt like he got baptized, but he just didn't speak in tongues. Like, I just felt the Holy Spirit so strongly and God over him, and he was breaking, but he just didn't speak in tongues. And he's like, I just wanted to let you know. And I was like, thanks, I'll talk to him about it. And later that night, on Tuesday night, I talked to Jeremiah, and I asked him, I said, so what's going on? The Holy Spirit, I heard, you know, you're getting prayed for. And he's like, yeah. He's like, man, it was so powerful, and I started to, like, hear this, like, utterance in my head, like almost like a word, but it was like gibberish. And it took him about 10 minutes for me to work out of him what that syllable was. It took 10 minutes for him to just finally just tell me, well, what did you? I just asked him, I was like, what did you hear? What was it, Jeremiah? Tell me what it was. I was like, dude, just say it. And he's like, no, it was gibberish. It probably wasn't it. And I was like, dude, in that moment, God and the Holy Spirit were moving in your life, and you've wanted it so bad for so long that the enemy came in and took a foothold and told you that you were making it up because you wanted it so bad. And it shut off right then and there. And he wasn't able to speak in tongues. And it kind of shut it off right then and there. And he's like, you know what? You're right. He's like, I felt like I was making it up. But I felt the Holy Spirit and God, and I just felt like I was making it up. And I said, all right. Well, you go back tonight, and I want you to pray to God and just ask that you wouldn't have doubt, and went through these things. And I said, and then I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you and just say that one syllable over and over again. Whatever the Lord gave you, whatever the Holy Spirit gave you, just say it. Well, then Wednesday night comes along, and he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit at the altar. And it was the most incredible thing. With a bunch of other kids lined up, what Micah had us do was students come up to the front. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you'd like to, the goal tonight is not tongues, but drawing close to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will baptize you. And students came up, and what Micah would do is count down 3, 2, 1. Speak out if you feel the Holy Spirit, the utterance, whatever it is in your mind. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. Speak it out. 3, 2, 1. And then you'd wait a little bit, and then you would say, wave your hand in the air if you got it, you know, if it happened for you. And you would just see arms across the room waving, kids. And then what he would do is say, all right, if you've now been baptized, go pray for somebody who hasn't been baptized yet. And you start to see students who just newly speaking in tongues, praying for one another to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was so powerful. And this went on for some time. But then what he did was he went through the spiritual gifts. Gift of prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, discernment, divine healing, miraculous signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, different things like that, all those spiritual gifts. And he said, if you want this gift, go to this corner. If you want this gift, go to that corner. Not if you have it, if you want it. And he had us separate into groups of what gift we wanted. We wanted to ask to have. And what he had us do was get into groups of 2 or 3, wrap our arms around each other and pray that we would receive that gift. The next part is great. Then he said, all right, now it is spiritual gifts practice 101. He gave all the disclaimers and he talked it through, and the Holy Spirit speaks life. It encourages. It does not, it's not negative. It's not attacking. It's not condemning. He went through all these different things, and then he said, all right, if you're in here and you have a physical need where you need healing, asthma, diabetes, blah, blah, blah. And he said, come over to somebody who asked for divine healing and have them pray for you. So that person who asked to receive the gift of divine healing is now praying for people, practicing the gift that they asked for. The people with prophecy, come over and ask them to prophesy about something in your life. And the room started to shift around, and students started to ask other students to pray for them, for discernment, wisdom, things. And you just saw them. A lot of it was, you know, somebody would go up to somebody with divine healing. Hey, I have this problem. Would you come and pray for it? They'd pray for it. Then they'd be like, okay, so what are you? Oh, I'm discernment. Okay, so I have something going on in my life where I need discernment. I need to know if this is God, if this is not. I need to know. And they would help each other. And to watch them utilize their gifts that the Holy Spirit gave to them that night to edify the body, to grow one another in faith, to grow their own faith. My goodness, it was wonderful. It was so cool. Because that night he answered 3 questions. He answered, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And what happens to you when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he went through all of those things, and he shared it with those students, and their lives were changed. I mean, he's taking them like through like drive-through Christianity. It's first night, salvation. Second night, get the grave clothes off. Third night, Holy Spirit. And then the last night, Thursday. Thursday, to start the service, he talked about his experiences in the world. Not when he was living in the world, but his experience traveling and what he's seen in this world. The things that he's witnessed in other countries that are just wrong. Sex trafficking, dirty water, mothers selling their babies. The things that he's witnessed and seen that he described as jacked up. But these things are so wrong. And as he was sharing this and he told these students, and he said, when you give to Speed the Light, it goes to buying a vehicle, a microphone, a sound system for a missionary that goes to these places, preaches the gospel, preaches the good news that we get to not even worry about, show up on a Sunday, actually roll over in bed and decide, do I want that today? I don't know. These people who have never heard about it, these missionaries give up their lives. And when you give to Speed the Light, you give them vehicles, microphones, sound systems, things they need so they can reach more people. These people that are stuck in these situations. I won't even go over the things that he's seen in other countries or the statistics on sex trafficking. It's insane. But when you give to Speed the Light, you're giving them a chance. That's what he said. And then he went on to say that if you feel manipulated, don't give. If you're not cheerfully giving, don't give. And that night, 750 students on a soft count raised $7,000 for Speed the Light. In that service, kids that took their money that was in their pocket on the last night and said, you know what, my cheeseburger ain't worth it. My Spencer Swirl ain't worth it. Somebody's soul, somebody's life is more important. And they gave their money to Speed the Light. That didn't include other offerings that we took that week. That didn't include the Speed the Light Cafe that was open every morning with coffee that kids would go through and buy. So who knows how much money they totaled. But just that night alone, $7,000 from those students sacrificing, giving something up. And youth leaders, they said, hey, youth leaders, if you want, go to the office and give them credit card information. And so many youth leaders went in there, emptied their savings accounts to give money. That's faith right there, man. I didn't have much in savings, so I wasn't able to do that. that was just kind of a joke. So then he got into his message for the night. And it was how to pursue God in a godless culture. Because this culture is messed up for these kids. Every day. And he talked about Daniel. He talked about Daniel in the Bible on how to pursue Jesus, how to pursue God in a godless culture. And it, the whole kind of purpose of his message was to the game plan back home, to tell them about the game plan going back home, to pursue Jesus. To what are we going to do when we come back home? What are we going to do for our friends, for this culture, for this world? He spent a huge chunk of time on purity. And once again, I'm not going to share with you the statistics of the teenagers these days when it comes to impurity, because it would astound you and disgust you at the same time. And he spent a segment talking about purity and how men or boys, we need to be men of integrity and purity, and women are not objects. And women, you need to integrity and modesty. And he just went through it all. And then he did something that I'll never forget. He brought his wife on stage. And all of a sudden, it became like there was nobody else in the room. And he told us all what he was going to do. And his wife sat down. And he knelt down in front of her on both of his knees. And then it was like we all disappeared. And he started to pray for his wife. He started to speak life into his wife and tell her how much he loved her. And he started to pray for his soon-to-be son as she's 8.5 months pregnant, and his daughter, and he started to pray for their family and speak life into her as he washed her feet, as Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And that love and that purity that was demonstrated in front of these students, as I look down the row, I see teenage boys crying. And, of course, teenage girls crying. But to have that demonstration of so much love and purity and respect in a relationship, were they always that way? Who knows? Imperfect humans. But he shared that, and he said, anytime you struggle with this, boys and girls, remember this. Let this image pop up into your head. And that's something I'll never forget. Watching him do that. And as he continued to preach about pursuing God, It was incredible, and he had such a great quote that might have been one of my favorite. He had so many great quotes. I mean, my notebook, I got like seven pages for like each message he wrote, I mean, or said, spoke. It was crazy. He was speaking fire. But one of the quotes was, "You were not called to pursue dreams. You were called to pursue Jesus." I wasn't called to pursue the perfect relationship. I was called to pursue Jesus. And when we pursue Jesus, those things in our life align. So don't chase the dreams, just like behavior modification and all these things. Don't pursue the dreams. Pursue Jesus. And he challenged every student to go home and make a prayer room, whether it was a closet or in their room or an extra room, whatever it was, put things on the wall, because to pray about those things would help in a godless culture in pursuing Jesus, to pray every day. And he talked about when he had first started a prayer room and praying, he could only do 5 minutes at a time. It was just 5 minutes of prayer. That was it. That's all he could do. But then by the end of the year, he got up to 1 to 2 hours a day praying. Because this is another quote. This one's very philosophical. When you pray more, you pray more. When you pray more, you pray more. The more he prayed, the longer it would go, and the more he would pray, and the more it was on his mind. And so he told these students, let's pray, go home and make a prayer room. And now if you follow him on Instagram, he posts stories of students that DM him, pictures of their prayer room. Thank you for speaking at Spencer Lake. I've started my prayer room, and there's lists of people they pray for, these students. Lists of people they pray for, their schools, their family. They almost all of them have Micah, Mac, and family because they want to pray for him because of what he did, how he spoke, but how God used him. Just these powerful things that happen at camp that are so life-changing and unbelievable. And that night, what he had us do was get into small groups. And there was questions up on the screen, and they were very practical. And what are you going to do when you get home? What did God do in your life this week? Start thinking of a story you're going to go home and be able to tell your parents or your friends that happened at camp. And he started to go through all of these things. And the small group started to go through all of these things. And we were sharing with one another. And as we were doing this, our group stayed for quite some time as kids were dismissing and going to the snack stand and playing sports and things at like 11 o'clock at night. On the last night, you stay up till 3 o'clock. Yeah. We'll give that one a moment of silence. But we stayed in there, and we were talking, and then out of nowhere, one of our students said, I feel like in my heart we need to pray for my principal. Because for 3 years, we've tried to get a Youth Alive speaker, as I described earlier. We've been trying to get a Youth Alive speaker into the schools. And every year there's new hoops to jump through, and ultimately we get blocked. For 3 years, two different students passing it on to the next student because they graduated and they never got a speaker into the school because they would get blocked. They would jump through the hoops and then they'd be told no. And this student tried this and got blocked. And this year just wants to get a student or get a speaker in there. So he's like, this is no knock on the area schools. That's not what I'm telling you this for. It's because he had a heart to pray for his principal. And as he started to pray for his principal, he started to pray that the Lord would soften his heart. And then it immediately went to, Lord, help me to be a witness to him. Lord God, give me the opportunity to invite him to church. A student wanting to invite his principal to church. And his heart breaking that this speaker would come into the school and touch the lives of these kids, that God would be glorified through it. And he just passionately was praying on the verge of breaking down. God, let me be a witness to my principal. Soften his heart. Let us be able to get a speaker into this school, into our schools. And when he finished his prayer, another one of our students practicing his gift, said, you know what, while you were praying, I felt like the Lord told me that if we were diligent, We continued to pray. We continue to be a witness, be a good example, do whatever it is they ask. I believe the doors will be opened. And that's what he shared. To speak life and encouragement to the student whose heart was broken for his principal. And we banded together and prayed, and then I shared a story with them about when I was in high school, and we had a speaker, and I got to watch as bleacher full of students empty, rushing the gym floor, wanting to know Jesus. And how it was one of the greatest experiences of my high school career. And I wanted that for them as well. So these kids that last night, just absolutely going after it, talking for hours on hours of what we're going to do when we get home to make sure we're pursuing Jesus. These students, high school students, 6th grade to 12th grade, not just our group, every group, just pursuing Jesus, asking for more, asking for more. What I'm telling you all of this today, sharing these testimonies with you, is because I believe that we as a church are called to more. That this isn't just a youth thing. This isn't just a camp thing. This isn't just a Spencer Lake thing. This is a God thing. And these stories that you hear, these services you hear, it's not about Micah the speaker. It's about God's presence. And it's about 750 people banded together pursuing Jesus. That if we as a church pursue Jesus with all of us, with all in mentality, what God will do in this community, in this church, in the surrounding areas. Because a lot of people believe that camp is a mountaintop experience. And that 1 to 2 weeks later, the kids come off the mountain. And real life sets in and they're not reading their Bibles as much. They're not praying. And I believe a big part of the reason why that is because of the culture they come back to. Maybe the friends or whatever it is, but I also think maybe the church they come back to. So what I'm challenging you with this morning is don't let them come down off the mountain. How about we join them on the mountain? Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter first time here or you're here every Sunday. New to the faith, not, it doesn't matter. Pursuing Jesus is pursuing Jesus, and if we do it together, there will be a change in the culture. There will be stories just like this every Sunday, every Wednesday. There will be opportunities open. Your life will be different. It'll be changed. Pursuing Jesus with all we have, the all-in mentality. These students did it. How about the adults in the room? Man, because someday that generation down there on Wednesday nights is going to fill this room on Sundays. Are we going to be okay if their faith is the same as yours right now? Or do we want more? Because every Wednesday when I walk down there and I'm going to preach to those kids or I'm going to share with those kids, I think to myself, I want them to be so much more in love with God than I am. I want them to go deeper than me. I want them to go farther than me. I want them to experience him in a whole new way. That someday when I'm, you know, old and irrelevant, that one of them just takes it over and just runs with it and takes them to a whole nother level. That's what I pray for. That's what I ask for. But see, that's us. That's not just me as the youth pastor. That's us as a church, boldly, courageously, with all sorts of zeal and passion, pursuing Jesus. You want to know why I know how to pray? You want to know why I know how to worship and read the Word? It's not because my parents took me aside and told me. It's because I watched them. I watched them. Not just them, but I watched other grown men face down, crying, bawling at the feet of Jesus, asking for life change. Because I saw women rise up in leadership, not backing down from the challenge, leading people to know Jesus. just ordinary people diligently following Jesus. It's what the kingdom is built on. God's calling you. He's called all of us. Let's pursue him with an all-in mentality. With an all-in mentality. Bow your heads with me all over this room. There's one thing I'm going to end on tonight. I'm in the camp mode. I did that in first service too. I'm thinking tonight. My camp schedule's got me all messed up. But bow your heads, all right. This morning, there's something I want to end on. And it's this. It's the same opportunity that every student had at camp. And I believe in this room, as a church, we are being called to pursue Jesus with an all-in mentality, with everything that we have, waking up every day, reading our Bible, spending time in prayer. Maybe you got to start a prayer room, whatever it may be. But I believe in this place, there are all of us being called. All of us. It's not just about your career or your job. It's all of us as Christians, as believers. Maybe you don't believe and you're new to the faith, but you want to know Jesus the Savior. Or maybe you've been here a long time, but you've been getting rusty. Right now, I'm going to ask, because I'm going to say a prayer, and I want you to say it with me, but I want to know who I'm praying for. So I'm going to ask, if you want to go all in for the first time, for the 12th time, for the 100th time, if you want to go all in with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just lift up your hand. All in with Jesus. You can put your hands down. All in with Jesus, that he will transform your heart. It's not behavior modification. It's heart transformation. It's pursuing him daily, not just Sundays.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.